you know, I saw the video with Marco Rubio before that. It's like, our position on Taiwan's not going to change. We're going to do what we want. We'll arm them as we want. And boy, did he sing a different tune after they left the Chinese.
Well, Trump got to him, probably. You never know what they're going to say or what they're going to do. And you've got to watch Rubio now very carefully because he's campaigning.
Oh, yeah.
He's already campaigning.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to say pretty much anything he thinks is going to enhance his chance to be the next emperor.
But he's, you know, what's Rubio's background? Is he a lawyer by profession?
All I know is he's a senator who told all manner of lies about Cuba, including that he'd been there. He never set foot on the island. He finally had to admit that. And that he came up through a very, very labyrinthine, almost, I would say, criminal network, which is pretty much true of all of Florida, to get to where he is.
His dad
was in Cuba and was a landowner under Fulgencio Batista. And so you can just understand what Rubio got from his dad probably the whole time he was growing up.
Well, the interesting thing is, though, Rubio's family fled Cuba while Cuba was under Batista. They left 4 years before Castro arrived to power.
I think they left in toto after Castro got in.
No, that's a story he told, but I've been reading the investigative journalists that said, no, they left before. He was lying through his teeth. So his dad had some kind of falling out with Batista.
Yeah, that's not the story they put out, but that may be true. I don't know, frankly.
But then again, you know, his brother-in-law.
I know there are a lot of lies amongst that Florida community, though, because I had to deal with them when we were working with President Obama to try and get some kind of rapprochement with Raul. And what was a very different. What I had when I first started working in the administration was a bunch of people who would flow into any crack they found with CIA money to try and overthrow Castro.
Mm-hmm.
That came from Clinton when Clinton had essentially turned on everybody and said all the money that's going down to the Cubans in Florida is corrupt because all they're doing is spending it on themselves. And they put some checks and balances in place, and at least 20 to 30% of that money started going to actual attempts to destabilize Cuba. But you met these people as you flowed back and forth against a tapestry of them dying rapidly, their children who were questioning them in large part, and then other Cubans who had decided that it was probably a better deal to go along with the rapprochement, funnel money into Cuba and support things like auto repair shops, restaurants, bayaderas, and so forth, and make money off of it and help Cuba at the same time. I'm sure some of them, I talked with some of them who were of that mind, they wanted to help Cuba develop some kind of capitalism that was safe and comfortable for them, not destroy the revolution, the education they'd achieved and all that, but to help them. There were a few of them that way. So when that transitioned, though, and this put all the others in flight. When that transition with Biden, who reversed everything, virtually overnight reversed everything. I don't know if Biden did it himself because he was demented. But I do know that the two people he brought with him that were most effective in this regard, Sullivan and Blinken, had the old Cubans come back. And so all of a sudden, you got these new Cubans being pushed out, which they didn't like at all because they had their money invested in Cuba now, some of them hundreds of thousands of dollars. The minimum investment was about 40 grand. So there was money in Cuba now. And so they started fighting in Florida. And then you couldn't get the truth out of anybody because there were so many divergent interests. And then we did what we did and ripped up everything. But that community down there is still very, very different than the community I encountered when I first went down there, which was almost all old Cubans ready to overthrow the government the moment they could get there and do it. We went through this deal with the Cuban Five. You may remember them.
Mm-hmm.
They were Cuban agents. They were in Florida. They went to the FBI in Florida. They went to the head of the FBI division in Florida, in Miami. They went to him. He was fluent Spanish speaker. They told him, we are agents in your country. We know we're foreign agents operating on your soil and we're violating your law. And we are so serious about the knowledge we've gained that we've come to you and you will decide our fate. And
Really?
they told him there's this incredible arms cache. It has shoulder fired missiles in it. It has all manner of plastique and other types of explosives. And these people were planning on going to our country. That's the reason we're telling you this, because it's dangerous for you. You have laws against this sort of thing. And it's extremely dangerous for us. This guy was sympathetic with them. And he said, you will be protected. And thank you for the information. And we're going to act on it. Within 48 hours, Clinton replaced him with someone else who was an absolute tyrant and who decided he would arrest them. And off they went to Victorville prison in California for life. And I got to go out there and visit in Victorville and talk with one of them. I didn't get in. I had to talk to him through Saul Landau, who did get in because he had already coordinated, and I hadn't. Had a nice long talk with the warden, though, because I happened to be chief of staff of the State Department at that time. Why is the Bureau of Prisons not letting the State Department in your prison? Well, you'll have to take that up with the Bureau in Washington. But at any rate, these guys finally were released. We worked hard on him for a long time. They finally were released. They went back to Cuba. He got to see his child for the first time. They let him have a conjugal visit, I think, which is what conceived the child, which was one decent thing they did. But in my exposure to them, I think I was exposed to one of the finest intelligence groups I've ever seen in my life. And what Ricardo Alarcón told me afterwards when I told him that, he said, well, we only have one enemy. You have a world of enemies. We only have one.
That said, focuses the mind.
we should be good. We have focus. But it was a very convoluted process, and I was introduced to a lot of crazy people like Marco Rubio. I wasn't introduced to him personally, but that's a crazy community. Ricardo Alarcón also told me one time, he said, laughingly, over a bottle of scotch, he loved to drink scotch. He'd give us rum, and we'd give him scotch. And he looked at me and he said, well, why are you talking about Cubans the way you are? We know Cubans. We're Cubans. They're Cubans. We know them. We know them in Florida. We know who they are. And, you know, he was saying things like, that's Marco Rubio. You know, we know these people.
So what's Marco Rubio becomes president? Then what? All out war on Latin America?
I don't think there's a chance in hell. I think J.D. Vance will go to his grave before he'll let Marco Rubio walk over him.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think he's going to let Trump walk over him either. There's talk right now about Trump siding with Rubio. You know what Tucker Carlson said originally?
Yeah.
He said that, and I guess he got this from Trump. He said that the reason Trump didn't pick Marco Rubio to be his vice president was Trump would be assassinated. Think about that for a minute.
Holy crap. Seriously?
Yes.
I missed that. Wow.
And I believe Tucker. I believe Tucker.
Wow.
So, but there's talk now in the newspapers and elsewhere, behind the scenes sort of, but still it's there, about JD being replaced. And people are saying, well, it's going to be Marco Rubio. I don't think so. I don't think Trump likes Marco Rubio at all. I think one of the reasons he pulled him in to be national security advisor was to keep him out of Foggy Bottom and keep him under surveillance.
Because you know, Mr. Head of State Department, he never negotiates anything. You got the two Netanyahu.
He's a feckless secretary. Only thing he's done is destroy the department.
Oh yeah. Well,
we have
him
so many
and,
political ambassadors now. When we have ambassadors, there are countries all across the globe we don't have ambassadors in. Chief of mission is running it right now, the Charge d'Affaires. And where we do have ambassadors, they're all highly paid political appointees. That is to say, they gave Trump a lot of money to get to buy the position.
But that's always happened, unfortunately. I mean, I never understood
that. Yeah, but
that.
Not to this percentage. Not to this percentage. The NEA is almost totally that. Near Eastern Affairs, the Levant, wow. Southwest Asia, almost totally that.
Yeah, look at the Israeli ambassador to Israel. I'm sorry, the American ambassador to Israel.
That's not an American ambassador. Yeah. That's an Arkansas religious zealot, ultra Zionist.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that Tucker Carlson interview, and you're looking at. But then again, I mean, look at what's his name from Texas?
Cruz?
Cruz, yeah,
Ted
Cruz.
Cruz? Yeah.
When Cruz said, my aim was to be the best defender of Israel in the U.S. Senate, not defender of Texas interests, the people
Right.
that re but defender
Or
of
the
a
United
foreign country,
States.
or the
Yeah,
United,
yeah.
of a foreign country. It's like, I can't
Yep.
believe this guy's saying this all out loud.
And I base my decision making on Genesis. And oh, Tucker says, you do? What part? Well, I'm not exactly sure what part. Have you ever read the chapter? Well, I was, what are you trying to tell? Are you trying to make me look bad?
These people are incredible. I mean, you think you're watching a Monty Python skit.
Yep. Except it's serious stuff.
Yeah, except it's
This
real.
Monty Python owns nuclear weapons.
Oh, geez, this is yeah, that I mean that's just well, I mean I can't imagine, 80% or half of the Russian parliament running to Germany or some other country because somebody there snapped their fingers and you're going to go have a group photo under a German flag. But we saw that with the U.S. running to Israel. I mean,
Yes.
with half the U.S. Congress, which is
Hey,
amazing. I mean, they
look at the times he addressed Congress.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm standing outside the Congress with an Air Force Command Chief Master Sergeant, and we're monitoring what's going on inside. And you should have seen the look on Dennis's face, the Air Force Master Sergeant, when he said, because we're watching it. You know, this he's got it on his cell phone. This I forget the name of it, but it's almost real time. We're watching it. And he's talking about the people outside the building being traitors because we're protesting his presence in the House, in the U.S. Congress. And Dennis almost flipped his lid right there. He wanted to go
Yeah,
outside
believe
and strangle the guy, you know, because
Oh.
we were outside protesting his presence in our Congress. We were traitors. How dare you son of a bitch, you know?
Well, how many Israeli reps and business people and some of these dual citizen, let me rephrase that, billionaires have said, freedom of speech, all that's overrated. You shouldn't have the right to say what you want to say. Just have the right to say what we want you to say.
Exactly. Say what we direct you to say. I'm afraid we're headed in that direction. And I'm really afraid that Hegseth has achieved one thing. He's stacked the military at all ranks with enough people that they'll either stand aside or even be sympathetic with the next attempt at a coup.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, then you got Gorka, that nut job. Gorka means in Russian, and he's Hungarian, but Gorka in Russian means bitter, and I think that fits very well. I mean, the guy was born in the UK to Hungarian parents. He's in it, and he's through and through British intelligence. Even when
Who's
he
this
did
now?
Gorka, what's his
Okay.
name? First name, I can't
Yeah,
remember.
I know what you're talking about. You faded out there.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
just missed. Yeah.
I cannot remember his first name, but he just recently said,
Sebastian or something like
Sebastian, that's
that.
it, Sebastian, that's it.
Yeah.
He just recently said that, Tucker Carlson is, he's not conservative, and I mean, he's a traitor. And Gorka, interesting enough, he went back to Hungary. Well, he did a master's degree in Hungary, so I don't say he went back to, he was born in the UK. And he was one of the advisors for Orban as Orban was rising up. And when Orban got his first term as prime minister or president, prime minister for Hungary, Hungarian intelligence did a good background check on Gorka, said, no, this guy ain't going anywhere near the government. He's an absolute British agent. So then he moves to the U.S., gets U.S. citizenship, and he's in the U.S. government. A British agent. I mean, flat out MI6 through and
Well, we
through.
have a director of the CIA that's working for Bibi Netanyahu.
True. That's true too.
And our ambassador is working for Bibi Netanyahu. And the chief of staff in the White House used to be Netanyahu's right-hand woman.
True.
Ran his political campaign. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's a symbiosis that George Washington is rotating in his grave over. all he had to deal with was the French Empire.
I was on a debate when the Iran war just started, and it was American news, and the other guy was as I, it was Scott something or other. I can't remember his last name. He was described as a George Bush conservative, but this guy. He's like, yeah, we're gonna liberate the Iranian people, blah, blah. It's like, first of all, it's not your job. It's not America's job to go liberate the Iranian people, any other people. The government they want is the government they get. And if they want to overthrow it, it's their shit. If they want to keep it, it's their right. It's like, no, we've gotta bring them liberty, whatever that means in reality. I'm like, George Washington's farewell address had a very specific message there, and I go on it. You know what his response was? Well, we haven't followed that in 100 years. Yeah, but that doesn't
Yeah.
make you smart, does it now?
I'm surprised he didn't say who was George Washington.
Well, that old man, he's been dead how long? What the hell? Who cares?
Imagine if Russia, China, and India, just to throw out three countries with capacity, imagine if they were to say one day, issue a joint communique, we are going to America in force to remove the government because it's oppressing its people.
The worst part about it is I could almost see that happen one day.
Yeah, well, so could I. And I don't think the American people would say anything, but we'll put out the mat for you.
Well, there's at least 30% or whatever Mega's base is left would go, no, we're going to fight to the end for our God King.
I think it's diminishing every day slightly. And I think here's what Haaretz said yesterday in a subheadline. And they tied it to Abe Foxman's desk, whom I've seen in the secretary's office a couple of times, much to my chagrin, way back. Abe Foxman's death marks the demise of the American Jewish establishment. Hope they're right.
Oh yeah, but then again, well, I guess the lucky thing for the U.S. is Trump's pushing 80. Well, is he 80 there, or is he just
He's
shy of it?
close. He's very close.
Because they were blessing his golden statue. There's something Moses and golden calves and all that. I do remember something about that.
I think what would be really terrific is that he gets out of the presidency by the normal means. I would hope. I'm not assured of that, but. And then we go right to that statue and melt it down and get the gold and put it in first time in Fort Knox. I don't think we have any gold in Fort Knox anymore, frankly. I think it's all in the New York Reserve.
I used to drive by that when I was stationed at Fort Knox doing officer courses. I used to drive by Fort Knox. There's nothing to see there from the
No,
road.
pretty nondescript place, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you'd never know that. I don't know how many floors it goes
Yeah,
underground.
it's all underground. Yeah.
You're just looking at it, it's like, yeah, some government building, it's got some wire fencing, but yeah, whatever. You would just never.
I made a statement about the gold of Fort Knox or something like that to a guy in a position to know about a year ago or so, and he looked at me and he said, "We ain't got any gold in Fort Knox. It's all in New York."
The last time they did a full inspection, that including taking probes out of every single gold bar where they drilled down to the center, it
Right.
was like 1956 or 1958.
Have you
That's it.
seen the latest thing in National Geographic about where the gold? I think it was Geographic, might have been Smithsonian, but where the gold comes from today? Now it comes from all the places in the world that are destroying the environment by the way they're getting the gold. And what it does is it goes through about three or four different sources and countries. It gets refined down to just being gold and has no markings of identity or origin or whatever. And then the big banks buy it.
That's exactly, by the way, what the big banks were doing with the concentration camp gold from
I
teeth,
don't
from
doubt it a
rings.
bit. Don't
Exact.
doubt it a
And
bit.
the Swiss were right in the middle of it. They were the ones melting it down and then making it clean. You can't tell whose molar or whose engagement ring it was after it's melted down. But yeah, apparently the Swiss were
And this is
doing
going to
that.
get it, this is going to get even more intense with gold going to $5,000-$6,000 an
Oh
ounce. I
man.
mean, they're going to be ripping the jungles up to get it out.
Well, yeah, Russia has a gold exchange, but it's actual physical gold. You have to bring your gold in, it goes into a bank, you sell it, and within 24 hours, the person that's bought it gets the gold to take it wherever, whichever country. But it's not at all under the control of the City of London or Wall Street. And what everybody's waiting, one of the reasons they're saying gold start going up is because you're starting to see the actual cost of the gold or the value of it. Without, you know, it's not paper, absolutely no paper gold, physical gold only.
And then there's always that, I don't know if you know Alan Furse, but there's a wonderful line in one of his books, Kingdom of Shadows, maybe, or Night Soldiers, where he's talking about Central Europe, and he writes about the World War II period, just before, during, and just after. And he says, "Remember what the grandmother in Lithuania said to her son." What was that? Or to her grandson, I think he said. What was that? Always keep enough gold to bribe the border guards.
But you know,
Someone said to me,
man,
"Snap, you gotta get." Someone said to me recently, "We don't have any border guards to bribe." I said, "Are you sure? Are you sure? Looking north and south, are you sure?"
that's a good quote. That's a damn good quote.
Yeah.
Gotta remember that one.
Smart grandmother, especially living in Lithuania.
But you know, 1932. Everybody says, "Oh, keep gold because you know if everything collapses." 1932, G-man in every bank, all the gold coins gone, one third of the gold jewelry gone. Here's some paper money, bye bye.
Well, look at this price it's going to now. Judge Mapalapano said the other day he thought it wouldn't stop till it got to 10 grand.
Seriously?
That would be
Wow.
about double what it is now. I think I did see it touched six the other day, but that's a lot higher, 10.
Wow. And on that note, I got silver. I never bought gold, but silver's going up too quite a bit. So,
No ideas. I got them
yeah.
both. If you've ever seen the long-term studies that have been done over about 1,000 years, and they track gold and silver, they have an incredible relationship.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you can see how why silver might stay down one time when gold is going up precipitously, and why silver might go up precipitously and gold still. But then you see why they rise together. And why they rise together is Donald Trump. Lack of confidence. Lack of confidence is the most powerful economic determinant.
Oh, of
Many
course.
economists, well, you got a
Yeah.
business degree.
I got an economics minor too, so yeah, I was just shy of getting a BA in economics or BS in economics. It's like, but that's not enough. Unless you get a PhD, there's nothing you can do with it. So I was like, I'm not going for that. I'll just get my MBA. But yeah, it's you're absolutely right, sir. It is. But I mean, but look at the spot market for oil. Forget the futures market, which is basically what you're seeing on the commodities market. It's just the futures market. But you look at the spot market, it's well over 200.
I told you when we did the petroleum disruption exercise in Beijing in 2009, we had virtually everyone there. We had AGI, we had Lloyd's of London, we had MARAD, we had the U.S. Shipping Confederation, we had the European Confederation, we had the London-based Confederation, we had shippers galore, we had all manner of people in the maritime world, and we took down Ras Tanura, the second game move. Gold went to $250, 24 hours later, $300 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate, Brent crude both. And that was in 2009, they went to that. And we actually had to have a decision on the game floor, and no one on the Chinese side understood that our man, Chaz Freeman, spoke fluent Mandarin. So we kept him in the shadows, sort of. But they actually, when we started talking about shifting oil globally, I mean, we were significantly shifting oil. North Slope oil, for example, went to Korea. We were taking care of everybody as fast as we could. And the Chinese actually got up from the game table and asked permission to go to their MOFA and consult before they made their game decision, and did so. 2 hours they were gone, came back and made their game decision and concurred in the plan we had developed. But that's how fast the prices went up, and how fast shippers wouldn't ship, insurers wouldn't insure. And even the Chinese were begging for the Navy, the United States Navy, amongst others, to come help, because we had to put some certainty back in the what we're talking about today with the Strait of Hormuz. Only this was really, really, really far more cooperative spirit at that time. It can go up fast. I don't think this was false. I think it was a genuine appreciation of what can happen.
Your and scenario.
Guess what?
Did,
Ras Tanura is on the second list of targets for Iran. Worse than that, the facility just north of it, which is about 7% of the world's best oil outside Libya, that's on their list too.
And I bet you did not have Donald Trump and his policies on your game scenarios.
No. We had some pretty talented people there, I must admit. And they made some tough decisions. They were all second and third tier cabinet level people from their governments. And the only reason I was there was because I just left the chief of staff at the State Department. And because I knew a couple of the Chinese who were from the Central Party School.
Well, sir, I've kept you quite a while. One last question. Do you think Trump's going to restart, or is he going to just let it peter out and walk away?
I think he's going to restart it.
What's the U.S. got? A week's worth of ordnance?
Everything we've got left from the air. I don't think there's going to be any ground, and I don't think there's going to be a lot of naval air, because it's too dangerous and it's too far, too tanky and everything. There'll be some. But I think most of it's going to be, and I'm listening right now to people telling me, for example, the Saudis have just said, you're not landing there. Take your planes and go home. I don't know if that's true or not, but it wouldn't surprise me if it were.
Yeah, there's 52 F-16s. I was on the news, it was floating around. There were 52 F-16s that were landed in Prince Sultan Air Base, which is pretty damaged up air base as it is.
Yeah, and I heard that was one of the things they're protesting. I don't know if they're serious enough to really protest, you know, put the National Guard out there or whatever. And then I was also told that the Israelis are angry because we've taken so much ramp space. They can't land their craft.
They don't get a chance to genocide a few more apartment blocks?
A few Lebanese, innocent civilians.
Yeah, it's, you know, when they took out four apartment blocks to supposedly get one guy.
That's Israel. Blast Beirut to smithereens to get one Hezbollah commander.
You know, collateral damage for them isn't collateral damage. It's bonus points.
Yeah, you're right. I'm beginning to think you're right. Totally right.
Yeah. It's sad.
My student back at George Washington University, who'd been just come from Israel 2 years in the IDF, he took me in my office one day and he said, I got to talk to you, because we just had a seminar and it's been fairly testy. A lot of people don't know George Washington University is about 52% Jewish.
Oh, wow.
So all of my seminars were, I would say, at least that and maybe a little more, because the Jewish students, I got to admit it, the Jewish students were more interested in national security than others. And so we just had this fairly contentious debate in the seminar, and he took me in the room. He says, I was in Operation Castlet. You know what my battalion commander told me? My battalion commander, I just want to tell you this so you'll know what you were saying in seminar, that some were protesting, is accurate. And some. my battalion commander's message to me was kill everything that moves. Women, children, dogs, cats, kill everything that moves, and then kill some more. Because we've got about 2 to 3 weeks, and we have to reestablish deterrence. And the only way we'll do it is by killing everything in sight.
And on that note, sir, I know I've kept you for quite a long time, and you're tired. But yeah, that's just
Never tire of the truth.
No, you're absolutely right.
And by the way, what the CIA has on its wall, that the truth shall set you free, is bullshit.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's absolutely true. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's absolutely bullshit. And they're bad. I mean, MI6, Mossad, CIA, it's basically the same under same roof.
Yep. I have absolutely zero respect for Barnea and Mossad. And now he's complaining about the guy Netanyahu wants to replace him with because he was using children or something like that in operations. Well, did you suddenly grow a conscience? You've been supervising the death of thousands. God. You grew a conscience because you just don't particularly like this guy, I guess.
Well, it's just like, everyone's like, well, there's a good chunk of the Israeli population that doesn't like Netanyahu. See, they're not all for this war. But no, 70% are for genociding everybody around them. They just don't like Netanyahu. doesn't preclude the other.
And the only reason Lapid decided to run probably and Naftali Bennett is because they know that. And they think they can be more ruthless than Netanyahu. Otherwise, why would Naftali Bennett go out and start talking about that chicken shit, Netanyahu? He won't send the IDF into the tunnels to get rid of the Hamas. I'll do that. I'm sure the IDF is going, well, maybe we won't vote for you.
Yeah. The last call up they had 300,000, 100,000 said, go to hell. I'm not coming. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
There were pictures that were coming out and videos of the lines of people on the checkpoint, Israelis on the Egyptian checkpoints with suitcases waiting to get the hell out of Israel and catch the first flight wherever their second passport gives them.
And I'm told a million that have money and boats on the Mediterranean and things like that have already left.
Oh, yeah.
Probably never to come back.
Good possibility.
Find a home in Berlin, find a home in New York, find a home anywhere other than that safe haven known as Israel.
Yeah. Well, the synagogue they took out in Tehran. The reason they took that synagogue out, one of the partitioners, one of the Jewish partitioners, is a general in the Iranian army.
God.
These are the guys that are going, the Iranians want to kill all the Jews.
Ever since Cyrus the Great, the Jews have had pretty good time in Iran.
Those guys. Yeah, they don't want to leave. I mean, Christian sites, there's over 600 churches, active churches in Iran. They have representation.
I hear we bombed a couple.
Oh, yeah. Well, under the main Armenian church, I haven't had a chance to see that. I've seen the photos. I'm hoping to go to Iran sometime soon. I was supposed to go with a group of journalists, but they said they kept putting it off, and they said, look, the war is about to start. We don't come. You can come later. But the new metro station that they built just underneath the main Armenian church in Tehran is dedicated to Virgin Mary. And there's lots of crosses and, Christian symbology. Meanwhile, the Israeli soldiers are sticking cigarettes in the mouth of the statue of the Virgin Mary, making fun of it and turning churches into public toilets.
Right. You don't ask me to explain it. Miriam Adelson will send her money to haunt me.
Oh, yeah. At least she can't do anything to me over here. But, yeah, she could definitely do something to you.
be careful what you say.
That's touche,
This drone
touche.
is for you.
Yeah, touche. When you have billions and you can throw it away, that probably, yeah, it's Christ. The times we live in, the times we live in. Oh, sir, thank you. Thank you for joining us. It's always a
Thank you for
pleasure.
ending my day.
Hopefully on a good note.
I don't think I've heard a good note in a long time, really. It's getting very, very sad and very, very debilitating.
Well,
Watching my country at my ripe old age just destroy itself.
you've got one of two choices: either laugh at it or cry at it. And it's better in the Russian. It's called smiatsa skozh slyozy, laugh through tears. You know, and the tears aren't of joy, obviously. It's
My
either.
tears, or as one person told me about Pol Pot's regime in Cambodia, I think they said, lagrimas caudales, warm tears. Warm tears are worse than cold tears. Of
Yeah,
course, in Cambodia, all you're going to have is warm
see, I was
tears.
gonna say that it's tropics. Oh, yeah.
You need me to stay on the record or anything,
No,
or?
no, 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 no. This records locally, so
Okay.
it's everybody. Thank you for joining us. And we'll be back. Trump won't leave us any peace, so we'll definitely be back.
Take care.